Louis Baum of Baird, New Mexico. Louis F. Baum, 79, a resident of Baird, New Mexico, passed from this world Friday, December 14, 2012, in Pecos, Texas. He died in a multiple car accident during a sandstorm while returning to New Mexico from Odessa, Texas. A memorial service will be held Friday, December 21st, at 10 a.m., at Terrazas Funeral Chapels, with Pastor Andrew Housley officiating. A full obituary is posted at Grant County Beat. Cremation will take place at Terrazas Crematory. Call 537-0777 for details. That's 537-0777. To send condolences, visit terrazasfuneralchapel.com. A second memorial will be held on Saturday, the 22nd of December, in conjunction with the Bayard Christmas Gathering at the Triangle across from Lauterbrugger between 4:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. Louis Baum, 79 years old, and will be sorely missed. Judicial Standards Commission dismisses complaint against Judge Quintero. A complaint of judicial misconduct filed last July against Chief Judge H.R. Quintero of the 6th Judicial District Court has been carefully considered by the New Mexico Judicial Standards Commission, and the commission decided that no action should be taken. The commission made an identical judgment last October in deciding a similar complaint against Judge J.C. Robinson of the 6th Judicial District Court. Both complaints were filed last July 18th by Peter Burroughs of Silver City, and both concerned the hiring of Judge Robinson's daughter-in-law, Abigail Robinson, as special master for the 6th Judicial Court, a contract position for which she was paid $60,000 a year. Ms. Robinson recently resigned the position. In his complaint, Burroughs made note of the fact that Judges Quintero and Robinson had been in private practice together, and whether or not Judge Quintero was involved in the hiring decision, he should have been aware of the appearance of impropriety, i.e., nepotism, and therefore should have prevented the hiring. Burroughs said he was very disappointed that no action was going to be taken against any of the attorneys involved. All three should have known better, he said. The rules of judicial conduct clearly state that when making appointments, such appointments must be made impartially on the basis of merit, and judges must avoid nepotism or even the appearance of impropriety. By law, the commission's deliberations are confidential, and Burroughs said, "I would love to have a transcript of the proceedings. Where am I going wrong here, or am I? What in the world do they consider an appearance of impropriety if this doesn't fit?" Burroughs also noted that a recent report from the Institute for Legal Reform reported that New Mexico ranked 47th in judges' competence and 45th in overall legal climate. "I have no idea how they arrive at those rankings," Burroughs said, "but perhaps this is something our political representatives should look at. I know the Democratic Party, Republican, and Tea Parties of Grant County were all upset with this perceived nepotism situation, because all three party chairs signed a joint letter to New Mexico Supreme Court Chief Justice Mayes, informing her of their concerns." Complaints about judicial misconduct are filed with the Judicial Standards Commission, the only agency with the responsibility to investigate complaints and make recommendations to the New Mexico Supreme Court, which has final authority. Detailed information on their process is available at nmjsc.org. Grant County Commission holds final regular meeting of the year. The Grant County Commission met in its final regular meeting of the year on Thursday, the 13th of December. During public input, a Mr. Lopez, a Silver City resident and father of two boys at Jose Barrios Elementary School, said he knew the commissioners attended the veterans' ceremony at the school and knew it was a nice ceremony. "There has been a misunderstanding. We did not try to stop the ceremony. We wanted to have it toned down and made age appropriate. My family has been here since the Civil War and has a long military history. But some, who are pro-war, wanted to make the students memorize military cadence songs. This year, our concerns were taken into account, and the ceremony was toned down." He said there were no pictures of military hardware shown. "It was not our intent to cancel the ceremony, and this year we were heard. Elementary schools are not places for recruiting." Manager Sari gave the cash flow analysis, which shows the general fund at the end of October to have $2,137,767 in cash, with an expected surplus at the end of the year ending June 30th of approximately $315,000. For more information on the various county funds, visit the link for grantcountybeat.com. Commissioners approved an inventory deletion of three buildings at the county fairgrounds, the lamb and pig barn, the poultry and rabbit barn, and the restrooms that were damaged last summer in a microburst. Because it is a capital item, we will demolish them, Sari said. We received between $60,000 and $65,000 in insurance, plus $5,000 from Miller's discretionary funding. We will use the money to design the new building and demolish the old. Sissy McAndrew, Southwest Green Chamber of Commerce Director, gave an update on the Visitor Center. We are continuing our Buy Local, Stay Local, Invest Local campaign. We had an excellent meeting with the Tourism Commission here last Friday. The Cabinet Secretary also heard from us. Our concern has been the catwalk. She said the Tamale Mas Festival last weekend was a great success, and she appreciated the Hispanic community taking it over. The Green Chamber held an economic forum Wednesday evening, which she said was very well attended. She showed a public lands document, West is Best, created by Headwaters Economics out of Montana. Growth out west is greater than in the east. Public lands has a huge impact on people choosing to move west. Commissioner Gabriel Ramos said he was glad the Green Chamber is supporting Glenwood. We at the Southwest County Commission Alliance are also. Another issue is public lands. I continue to push to keep the forest roads open. The Forest Service is slowly putting the catwalk back together. The rest of the meeting will be covered in a subsequent article, and please visit the Grant Kearney Beat for additional details on this one. Final regular meeting of the Grant County Commission for 2012 continued. The next item of business addressed whether the county would be fiscal agent for the Forgotten Veterans Memorial Capital Outlay Request. It was approved, although Chairman Britt Kasten said it might not be needed. Armando Amador, who developed the project and along with others has worked on the memorial for 20 years, said it has served as a healing for veterans with PTSD and for the families who have lost veterans. The commission also approved changes to the food policy bylaws to reduce the number of board members from 13 to 9, also decreasing the number needed for a quorum from 7 to 5, and not requiring government officials to be members. Amendments to several agreements with Children, Youth, and Families Department for services through the Juvenile Probation Office. They included an increase of $2,800 to Randall Compton, an increase to Mary Lorraine Zunick of $192.50, as well as a decrease of $1,341. An agreement with Lakeisha Marquez for Juvenile Probation Office services in the amount of $1,342.50. A subgrant agreement with New Mexico Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management for 2012 Operation Stone Garden, in the amount of $171,000. A consolidated project agreement with the New Mexico Department of Transportation Traffic Safety Bureau for Operation DWI, Operation Buckle Down, and 100 Days and Nights of Summer, in the total amount of $33,717. A cooperative law enforcement annual operating plan and financial plan with the USDA Forest Service Gila National Forest for $28,500. And a resolution for budget adjustment for grants and cooperative agreement in the amount of $37,000. Commissioners heard from the financial consultant Mark Valenzuela on the sales resolution for gross receipts tax revenue ponds for Gila Regional Medical Center's renovation and expansion project. We sent out bids to 10 banks and received 3 back. We recommend the Bank of Nevada for a 15-year bond at 3.25%. What we really liked is that there is no prepayment penalty clause. Commissioners approved the resolution and proceeded to county reports. Sheriff Raul Villanueva said he and several of his staff would participate in this Saturday's Shop with a Cop project. The officers and the children will watch a movie, parade downtown with lights and sirens, visit Penny Park, then have lunch provided to them by Silver High School students. The final stop of the day would be Walmart, where each student will be able to purchase up to $100 worth of items. We think there may be over 100 kids. He thanked Commissioner Christy Miller and outgoing Treasurer Alfred Cedillo for their service and welcomed Ron Hall, who was in the audience as the next commissioner. Clerk Robert Zamarripa said he wanted to remind anyone who is thinking of running for a school board position that the clerk's office would be accepting applications Tuesday, December 18th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. He said the Silver Schools had three open positions, districts 1, 2, and 4, and the Cobray Schools had three open positions at large in districts 1, 2, and 3. All are four-year positions. The election will be held February the 5th, 2013. Cedillo said he was giving his last report. It's been a great collection year. We billed $11 million and got $6 million in first-half taxes collected. That's a 55% collection of all taxes. It's been great working with all of you. I thank the public for allowing me to serve for 8 years. My staff is the best I've ever worked with, and I can't leave it in better hands than with Steve Armendariz. Miller said it had been a pleasure for her to serve the residents of Grant County. I compliment John Sari, Marianne Cedillo, and Jovita Gonzalez, with whom I served the first 2 years, and they taught me a lot. With the two male commissioners, I think we've made a good team. The county has a great group of people, and a lot of hard work comes out of the departments. She also thanked the coverage from the Silver City Daily Press, Mary Alice Murphy of The Beat, and the Silver City Sun News. On December 31st, I will turn it over to Ron Hall, who will do a good job. The commissioners went into executive session to discuss threatened litigation in relation to harassment in 2012, threatened litigation in relation to the Grant County Detention Center in 2012, and an exit conference in regard to the audit for fiscal year 2011. The commissioners adjourned from the executive session. Silver City Town Council approves Metropolitan Redevelopment Area. The Silver City Town Council unanimously designated its downtown as a metropolitan redevelopment area on the 11th of December, despite concerns that labeling the area blighted could have a negative impact on public perceptions. Another touchy term, the description of part of the town as a slum, was deleted from an earlier draft of the resolution prior to approval. The MRA designation is the first step in a process that can eventually allow the town to pursue otherwise illegal joint public-private improvement partnerships, bypass low-income qualifications when applying for community development block grants, and eventually declare the area a tax increment financing district. A TIF district allows the town to roll property tax revenue increases resulting from property appreciation directly back into the TIF area. The MRA boundaries encompass the historic downtown area and include parts of the Chihuahua, Silver City, and North Addition historic districts. According to Mayor Marshall, any stigma associated with the term blight was a minor concern compared to the potential benefits of the MRA. "I have no objection to calling an area blighted that's blighted," Marshall said. "If we use our attorney's phrase from last meeting, there are areas that are ugly and need help. To just go on as is and continue with our Chamber of Commerce statements, that's burying our heads in the sand." Councilwoman Cynthia Bettison offered an alternative proposal to exclude as many residents as possible, sparing homeowners any philosophy face. Her proposal, however, excluded businesses on College Street corridor and elsewhere along with the residences. Nick Seibel, Silver City Main Street project manager, said that excluding those businesses could have very real consequences. Bettison later withdrew her recommendation and joined her colleagues in voting for the resolution with the original boundaries. Meeting held to discuss and hear input on replacement of Hudson Street Bridge. A public meeting was held Wednesday, the 12th of December, to hear a presentation on the planned replacement of the New Mexico 90 Hudson Street Bridge near downtown Silver City, and for the New Mexico Department of Transportation to hear residents' concerns and ideas. Eric Johnson, Senior Environmental Project Manager from Marin and Associates, facilitated the meeting and gave the presentation. He also said he would return to the area later to discuss what is planned for New Mexico 15, also known as Pinos Altos Road, from US 180 to 32nd Street. The purpose of the meeting tonight is to discuss the Hudson Street Bridge project and the detour route, Johnson said. He gave a short PowerPoint presentation showing the agency coordination needed, including with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers because of San Vicente Creek running under the bridge, the State Historic Preservation Office to oversee any cultural resources that might be impacted, and the Environment Department to review any contaminated areas and address possible endangered species. The project includes upgrading lighting and replacing signs, as well as aesthetics, pavement improvements, roadway striping, drainage improvements, and utility coordination. The official detour route is the County Truck Bypass Road to US 180 West and back through Silver City to Hudson and Silver Heights Boulevard. The first resident asked if the DOT had considered building the new bridge alongside the old one and demolishing the old one when the new one was complete. Lujan said there was not enough room to build a new one alongside, and a lot of required blasting would have significantly increased the cost. A resident asked if the bridge would be pleasing to the eye. Bill Hutchinson said the department would allow the public to weigh in on aesthetics. A questioner asked if there were any contingency for improving Cooper Street to Broadway, as additional car traffic is likely to occur there. "We have not discussed that with the district," Lujan said. "It may warrant another signal. We realize the lot of traffic that the bridge carries now will go on to Broadway and Cooper Streets." Another resident asked about a timeline on the project. Luann said bids would be taken in the fall of 2013. "We are hoping construction will begin in late April 2014. It will take at least 8 to 10 months to construct." Trent Botkin, member of the NMDOT team, said he did not believe there were endangered species in the area, but cultural artifacts may be found. "We will do archaeological and biological surveys. Nothing will be impacted. It will be returned to its present or better state." A resident asked how many more public meetings there would be. "At least 3 more, Lujan said, depending on participation. Between now and the next one, we will do the 30% plan. After that, we will have the 60% plan, and then the final plan." Seibel asked if a citizen committee had been considered. "It's not planned," Lujan said. "I'll be here as often as I need to be. This tonight is very preliminary. We are about 3 months or so looking at bridge plans. We will come back about April." Schultz asked about the estimated cost. $10 million, Lujan replied. To a question about what would happen if the department did not get enough funding, Lujan said, "The bridge is still safe, but we will find the funds. It's a District 1 priority." She said the next meeting would be around April, and in the meantime, she would be talking to property owners who will be most impacted by the construction.